Bar Rescue fans, this season has been amazing. We've lacked one thing, a wackadoodle. And we've got one tonight in a crazy little thing called Selman.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
If you get it.
Hello, Bar Rescue fans. Kevin Undergari here with my co-host, Nate Miller.
Nate, that's me.
We're without Nicole Brazier, but you know what? We're going to hold the fort down. I'll say it in the Boston side. We're going to hold the fort down without her. You guys, crazy little thing called Selman. Finally, a wackadoodle. Somebody out of their freaking mind. A little bit of a tease because not as far out of his mind as I wanted him to be. Yeah. But good enough. Good enough. Yeah. I was back to Pirates. I was back to my Cockroach Man. I was back to Wonder Bar. I love the episode. Nate, your thoughts?
Same. He was pushing the line a couple times. I was not sure exactly how it was going to go. Very interesting rescue. Definitely a first, like you said, for this season. We haven't got a crazy guy in a while. And
yes.
Man, he was something.
And like all of our crazies, so defiant and so steadfast in their ways. So much defending the madness. And that's, I think, one of the characters. Someday we should discuss what is a real bar rescue, the attributes of a bar rescue.
I think we should do a list of the top five craziest bar owners on Bar Rescue.
All right, next week. Listen, you guys, if you're watching us on iTunes, if you're listening on iTunes, please rate and comment, and you let us know who are your top five wackadoodles, your top five bar rescue crazies in the history of this show. If you're watching us on YouTube, do the same and like us there as well. Okay, name of the bar, Cooper Rocket. And once again, we're dealing with another Florida bar. Wonderful. There's a radio station that does, Jillian Barbary has a radio show here in Los Angeles, and she has a segment called Florida, Not Florida, where they'll read crazy stories, and then the callers have to decide
if it's real or not.
Yeah, if it happened in Florida or not in Florida. So anyway, that just gives you a little, like, it seems like...
idea of the environment.
Yes.
Right.
But this is a bar that's $150,000 in debt, losing $2,000 a month in mainland Florida. It's got a 20-year history, so it's got a real history. It seems like he buys this on a whim, and a shout-out to the producers for him saying, I have nine voices in my head, and they kind of went to the Brady Bunch screen with the multiple heads.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, right? But he said, I made the decision in a day, no experience, and he brings in local artists, sword swallowers, like flamethrowers, naked women, maybe the worst folk guitar singer I think I've ever seen or heard in history.
It was awful.
But he said it's his playhouse.
Definitely a guy who doesn't know what he got himself into. He thinks he's just going to buy the bar and just have fun and invite his friends and whoever he wants to come by and doesn't understand that it's a business.
Question for you, Nate.
Yes.
Do you think he comes for money and he's using someone else's money to buy that bar?
I don't. Anybody who says that they bought a bar on a whim, that's a major investment to buy it on a whim. That kind of says how much he values money.
And I think it's family money.
I would bet on it.
Just a guess.
He doesn't even really seem he's concerned that the bar is going to close, but even then, not really.
Not so much. But you know what? As we dig into this and as I did my research, he might be smart when I reveal what happened to him. Might be smarter than you think. Juliet, what were your thoughts on Selman? Are we wrong?
I mean, you guys are on the mark, but I thought he was amazing.
Oh, he is amazing.
He's just looking to have fun. He's making decisions. And one day, he wakes up and he's like, I'm going to buy a bar today. That seems like a cool guy. Don't you agree, Kev?
Okay, yeah, that seemed cool. But the fact that he was so whiny, defensive,
against people that are there trying to help him.
Yeah, and so that's to me. So that to me is where he's not fun. He's what I call false positivity. People like that. That's like, oh wow, they're so cool. They're so laid back. They're all about the arse. No, you're a douche.
So passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Would you call this millennial managing?
No, I don't even know what this is. No, because millennial managing is different than this. No, this guy is just...
He's not even managing.
Yeah, no, yeah, and I think he was a brat, and that's why I think he's got family money, and I don't think he's heard the word no a lot, and I think he's got issues. I mean, we John pulls up and And they brought the right people for the job. Lisa Marie Joyce, off reference here, you know, one of the top three of the Holy Trinity of bar rescue expert, professionals. And then, of course, one of my favorites and one of the top food guys, Vic Vegas.
Vic Vegas.
And do you ever notice how...
Puts chips on everything.
Right. And do you notice how they always put... They love pairing Vic and Lisa Marie Joyce.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're both fiery. So
yeah, that Suicide Squad. You get the tats. You get the attitude. You know, they're great together. And I just love, as they're doing the recon, Vic is just like, he said something like either, oh, this guy, he goes, this guy's a bitch. This guy's such a bitch, which was great.
Because what does he say to Taffer? He was like, can you talk louder? I can't really hear you. Something
oh, that's later. Well, that's as we jump ahead to the apologies. Thing. But we're still in the car.
Yeah.
And local DJ, Johnny Magic, and just so you guys know, I'm always on the case here for AfterBuzz TV Bar Rescue. Johnny Magic, I don't know if you know, but back in 2016, he was involved in a mistaken identity case. Someone took his stole his identity.
Wow.
So he is an actual famous DJ in Orlando from what I researched. In comes Johnny with good intentions. Nate, you as a man of partial color,
mm-hmm.
May I ask you something?
Yes.
When he didn't get waited on in this white people Florida bar, was it because of a lame staff? Anything to do with his color?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I didn't get that vibe. I think it was more of just a really bad staff. Although I could be mistaken, but okay. That's not the vibe that I got.
Scamulet, Juliet, what do you think?
I don't really know. Yeah, definitely lame staff for sure. I don't know if I can make any assumptions.
And you know what? And listen, and I will say this. Because they were artsy people are less motivated to be racist.
And that's why I was saying it seems like a very liberal artsy place that just didn't care about doing a good job.
So it's just poor management and poor working. He orders pretzel bites and a cheesesteak, not on the menu, and Salmon starts ripping apart his kitchen floor. And this is where, you know, Vic is like, wow, you don't talk, you're crapping on your staff. Come on, man. When Johnny does get his food, of course he spits it out, which doesn't surprise anybody. And at this point, we see the fire blower in the parking lot, the naked lady being painted in the bar. And I don't know if you guys probably didn't. See, I watched this twice. And the folk guitar, I just wish I should have just taken a clip, you guys, because I don't even... folk guitar is one of the basic... It's one of the easiest hires to make because, you know, how many people do you know that can... I have friends who can, like, strum a bass guitar and sing Sitting on the Dock of a Bay or, you know, one of those, like, easy songs.
Right.
This guy's horrible. And then we have a flame juggler in there as well. The one ray of light, though, is Norman, the assistant manager. We see a glass break, and he's all over it.
Oh, yeah.
Vic calls him a working manager.
Yeah, he was clearly all over it. He was the rock. And for me, for this episode, of like, I think if Norman hadn't been there, I think this would have been a John Taffer walkout episode.
We need to talk about that because John comes into the bar and they get right into it, you know, and he's like, this is on you. And he's like, no, it's not on me. And this is where, like you were saying, Juliet, he becomes a smartass. It's like, okay, you've proven you can yell louder than me, John, you know, and I'm getting so mad. And this is where... I want to ask John, because, of course, he does have the ability to walk out. But at the same time, he has to deliver episodes, too. So I wonder from the back of his head in this one, I kept saying to myself, is he just hanging in because he's like, I just want to get this in the can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make this work. And I have an answer to it by the end of the episode. But were you guys surprised that John put up with as much from this guy as he did?
Yeah, especially after he went off on Lisa, too. I expected him to really kind of bear down on him. Like, it's one thing to yell at John. He is a yeller. You know, there's always lots of emotions with him. But
we'll get to that during the stress test. Yeah, that's another thing, right?
I've seen him get very defensive, though, over his
people
and stuff,
and his women.
Yeah.
Again, we need to talk about that. We'll get into that. I mean, listen, we probably can just... We can just at least leave it at this. John, for whatever reason, puts up with it. The morning after, he introduces Vic and Lisa Marie. In semi-defense of Selman, he does say, okay, I'll quiet down and I'll be good. So, mm-hmm. Fine. The next day, Vic comes in, and I think it's great. It's like, listen, your kitchen doesn't have a lot of equipment. This is where Vic shines.
Right.
He's going to make something you know,
whatever their situation is, that whatever they can do, he's going to take that and then make something.
And we'll play to the, right. We'll play to what few strengths you have.
Right. Just because you've got a little capability doesn't mean you can't make something good.
And Lisa Marie's like, I'm going to elevate the cocktail. So, you know, Vic comes out with this mouth-watering mac and cheese burger with pre-cooked burgers. It looks great. Mm. And even Selman compliments it. He's like, wants more. Fine. But then we go to Lisa Marie at the bar, and the bar is just filthy. And Selman is like, I agree. I just haven't had the time, which, of course, we've heard that before, which is kind of ridiculous. By the way, did he look like a tired man?
No.
Did he look like, was there dirt on him? Were there bags under the eyes? Was there any indication, right, that he was working 20 hours a day and didn't have time? Okay. And then he goes, if I don't have access to the bar, how can I? So it's a 24-hour bar? I didn't know that, Nate. I think the bar's open 24 hours?
I think there's some kind of... I think he was trying to make some excuse about somebody else. Like, I don't know what if their bar is inside a building or something, and that was some way that he couldn't get in there. I don't know. Either way, the excuse is BS. Because you close the bar, then you stay for 30 minutes and you clean it.
That's it. And by the way, listen, you motivate your crews. Sometimes I had bar owners who... just said, hey, give us a couple of beers. Sometimes, most of the time, they didn't pay us at all. And then other times, like, yeah, here's a couple of bucks. But most of the time, we didn't get anything. We would just, and when you have numbers, you just give four or five people, guys, we're going to do it.
And you can't be the manager that's making excuses, because once the manager starts making excuses, then the employees.
We've seen it so many times on Bar Rescue. This guy may have made more excuses than ever before that in the history of bar. Seriously, like it was non-stop. Making me sick. Lisa Marie's going to make a shandy drink. So have you ever heard of this kind of drink? A beer mixed with soft drinks.
Yeah,
simple drink. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we're only going to do two drinks tonight for the stress test. And he's like, we have 100 drinks and we're only going to do two. And blah 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 blah. And they start getting into
so
it again.
Mad.
Tell me what you were thinking.
It's like disbelief, because like these, you see how awful a situation his business is in, and then you see these people who are professionals who have done this over and over again. They know exactly what they're talking about, and they're here to help him. Right. And instead of going, okay, cool. And this is after they had the conversation of him not having attitude and being like, you're right. He can't help it.
Can't help it.
But he's got to turn it off. You got to shut up and listen.
Some people tell me that, I've heard from people go like, with certain people, Nate, it's just in your DNA, and that's it. And I hate hearing that. Because I wonder if this thing's even in my DNA, separate things that I can't, I hate that. That's so depressing.
I think it's an excuse, Kev.
Yeah.
I think it's something that you're taught or it's within your system, but you can definitely unlearn those bad habits and you gotta love it.
Exactly.
This whole situation was just, insane to me. Partly I was like, okay, I can understand. Maybe he's thinking there's regulars who are going to come back and are used to a certain thing and are going to be upset that they have to order two drinks. But at the same time, there's cameras there. It's an event. It's Bar Rescue. You just have to keep.
I guess he acts like they've never done a stress test before.
I just think he's a spoiled brat who's always gotten his way.
Even with the staff and like Norman, the way he treats him, he's like, yeah, John, I'll take care of him. And he goes to talk to him. He's like, hey, man, you know, let's just tone it down a little bit. When he used to be like, yo, shut the F up. You're going to screw this up for all of us. Keep your mouth closed.
Right.
It's people like that allowing him to continue that behavior.
Right. Right. We get to the stress test, and this is where I was really surprised too, Nate, for the exact same reason you're saying. Because I watched it twice, and LMJ, Lisa Marie Joyce, had tears in her eyes. I don't know if you saw in the side interview. First of all, she's not one to take – she's got a really bright girl and fun and positive, and she's tough.
Very strong.
Is Mia, but strong – but lovable. And mm-hmm. she looks like, I don't know if she's Italian. She strikes me as Italian. And same with Vic Vega. And I speak from that, where you have this hard, tough exterior, but you're softy inside. And man, this guy got to her. And she was, I could see the tears in her eyes. And I'm just so surprised. So I don't know if John was busy in the kitchen during this, or if John didn't see it or wasn't aware. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like John. Mm-hmm. Because if John knew, I swear to God, because Mia one time went against this chauvinist guy.
Yep.
And I've unfortunately, guys, I've seen so many episodes, they've all bled now into each other. But then John said, oh, okay, bitch, you think you're so good? How about a bartending contest against Mia? And Mia blew the guy away, like in a speed contest. But with this, I was just surprised. So I don't know if John didn't see it. I was confused. I was confused, and I think I have an answer to it by the end of it, but I was confused. Yes, go ahead,
Julia. I honestly thought he was just tired. It looked like John was just so tired, and he was just like, I cannot deal with one of these people again.
Yeah, you know what? You know what, Juliet? I'm glad you said that. It happens. And this is John, you know, he's not an old man, but he's not a young man. Mm-hmm. He's a big guy. And when you, I know when I do seminars to try to get, I have my techniques to for Hollywood career coaching and to get break people and to get them to that right. It's as rewarding as it is. You go on the journey with the people. So as hard as it is on the people, it's as hard as you on you too. Well, and then when you break them and then you guys all celebrate at the end, it's great, but you're just exhausted. And remember, he's out in the middle of nowhere. The accommodations aren't the greatest for where he's at. So I think you're right, Juliet. I think you're right. You know, he may very well. And
rightfully so. I mean, it must be so, like, as you're saying, having to deal with these people where you're doing so much for them and you're helping their business, you're basically saving their lives in a way, and they have this attitude. It must be hard.
I don't know. I honestly don't even know how he does it. You know, we have the staff meeting after. And again, another blowout with Zellman. And he just, you know, and finally when he once again comes around, and this is where I notice why John hung in. And because notice his whole staff was like, Zellman, 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 Zellman. And I was like, they really, really like him. And we've seen some of the people like their owners in a kind of Stockholm syndrome kind of way. I don't think that's the case here. I think he's probably fun with them and roots for the artist. Oh, you think it is?
I think there's a little Stockholm syndrome. Yeah, like it's okay to like the guy. He seems like I can see how he would have come in and been a likable guy. But when he comes in and steps in as the owner, and then like even within the first year, it's like, all right, things aren't going how they used to be. Things aren't being cleaned. Things aren't being taken care of. Okay, but we like Zellman, right? Then the next year comes. That's when you go, look, I like you, Zellman, but you're an awful owner manager. Yeah, things are not running the way they're supposed to be. Like,
right.
Well, and that's where the Stockholm syndrome comes in.
You're right. Okay. So they get him to come around and be nice. And this is where John comes down. He goes, listen, you might be the greatest guy in the world, but at business, you're a failure. Admit it. And I always say, if you can get, it's a hard thing to do a lot of times when I'm working with people. I want to get them to admit a fault. And unfortunately, because egos get in the way, they think it's a matter of the other opposing party or the person that I'm working with thinks it's a matter of me just trying to win.
Right.
Or impose my will.
Yeah, and it's what a battle.
It's not. It's because if you can admit something, right, you're halfway there.
It's just like
you're halfway there to fixing it.
Like using the word blame. Like it's not about blame. It's not about fault. It's about acknowledging what the situation is.
That's
so
right.
We can remedy it.
So we can remedy it. Yeah. So when I saw how much his staff liked him, I think that's why John, maybe there's more that we don't know. Maybe he is an okay guy when he doesn't get all revved up. And I think John saw that. And the fact that the staff who didn't seem...
I think he cares a lot about the staff, too. Norman the bartender, Nicole, too. She was very prominent. I have a feeling that he connected with her in some way and really wanted to help them.
So where I've seen the Stockholm Syndrome owners, they don't care about the staff. The staff just has this dysfunctional fear. So maybe that's what John saw. So we go to advanced training, and we do an easy sake cocktail, and it gets Salman and LMJ to bond, at least in Rejoice. You know, so she, you know, again, typical Italian, she's all bark, and then, you know, very sweet, and she has a nice moment with him. And interesting that Vic abandons the burger because he knows they can't handle it. Let's go to something clean, turkey sandwich.
Something cold.
Cold,
that's
right?
That's not going
right?
to die in the window.
When we go to the reveal, he's wearing a jacket like John, but not to be a smartass. He actually says, I'm wearing a jacket like John. Yeah. And John didn't touch the sign. I really like, he goes, you guys did such a nice job with it and your branding. He said, I didn't want to touch it. I like this. This is one of the first times I've ever seen this.
And this is why.
I like when John does that.
If you look at this episode, the problem with this bar, it's not the theme, it's not the location, it's not anything other than the way it was being managed by the owner. It was doing fine before he got it. And then he just...
And then
this is what happens when you don't take... You take something that's good and then you don't take care of it at all.
Right.
It starts to die.
Or you even add your kind of kooky ideas.
Yeah, you invite the fire eaters.
And you're graffitiing the walls and like nothing made sense.
Right.
But you know, it's funny you say that. The bones of the bar really weren't bad.
Yes.
Okay. So we see a custom-built rocket table, rocket signs, pool tables, a nice 1995 when it was established, and Norm was like, that's respect, which I thought was really cool. And John said, people stuck by you, Selma, and that's why this happened. And I go, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
Now I get it. It's because his staff did like him, and he did in his own crazy way like them.
Right.
And that was the redeeming thing that we didn't get to see, where John was able to hang in. And Lisa Marie Joy said it herself, you're the craziest man I've ever met. No one is like you, but your team is behind you. And like, she really was won over by him. But the fact that she said that, because think of all the, she's 10, 15 years bartender.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you are the craziest man I've ever met. There's no one like you. So I think there's more to him than we saw.
For sure.
I really think they just added it and showed us the asshole wackadoodle rather than the softer side of him.
Well, it's got to be entertaining.
So he's thrilled. Sales are only up 5%. Norman takes over the day-to-day. Selman holds back his tears. Fine. Here's where we go to the bar rescue updates. This is where he's smarter than we realize. Months after Nate, guess what he does? Sells the bar. Company comes in, okay, and called AKT. It's a global entertainment merchandising company based in Orlando. Comes in February 2018, buys it. So totally, by the way, takes the bar rescue renovation and strips it all down. Because I think it was like a corporation,
mm-hmm.
Meaning it was a corporation. So you wouldn't take a local bar. Think about if Fridays came in, right? There's a certain standard or whatever. So they built it right back up. It's now smoke-free. They do play on the history, probably lots of merchandising, the Cooper, and it's a very successful bar now. Now, as far as our boy, I think that he probably had this in mind.
Oh, for sure.
Fix the place for me. I'm going to sell it.
Get out of Dodge. I can't do this.
We've seen that with about five other owners in the history of Bar Rescue, which is kind of shitty. But fine, at least the bar is still going, whatever. Now,
and the crew is in a better spot, too.
I'm sure. They were nice. I mean, Norman, and who's not going to hire Norman?
He's great. Some people just shouldn't be bar owners.
Well, do you want to know what he's doing now?
What?
Okay. So, it says that he is the... First of all, it says he's the former chief executive janitor at Cooper Rocket. That's what he lists on his Facebook page. And his little term under his name, I'm going to science the shit out of this planet. Very interesting. He is the founder at Not Day. Okay, and you know what they do?
No.
Help people battle depression.
Oh, wow.
So, because I have a funny feeling he's manic. The way he's up and down, right?
Yeah.
So I think he suffers from it, too. So, you guys, a really quick bar rescue. Sorry, we've had some scheduling issues here. Next week... I don't know if you saw, but we got a little mama's boy.
I didn't watch the TV.
A little chubby mama's boy who is a brat and fighting with John. But here's a little knock on this preview. They kind of gave away the whole episode.
Well, that's why I don't watch the previews.
Yeah, that's. I guess it's smart. Well, normally they tease us. You know, we'll see a naked man in the kitchen and go, huh?
Yeah.
But this was like they took it. So
I'm going to watch it.
These are things where John, at some point, is just going to probably lose my number because I text him and go, John, I just noticed So,
there's some other editor in it, and he's busy. I'm sure he watches the.
Yeah, cuts, but he'll go relay to them. But you're right. That's a network decision. That's probably not even the production company.
Yeah.
Anyway, great episode, Nate. Where do we find you?
You can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate. Every week, I host a video game news show on Inventory Full PT on Twitch. That's every Monday at 6, and then Sundays at 8. You can catch me on the Westworld After Show, where we talk about the best show on television.
Nice, best world. Okay, that. All right, I'm in. I'm
going
to binge this bitch.
It's so good.
You guys, Kevin Undergaro, saying goodbye to you. You guys, I do Bar Rescue, but I also do AfterBuzz TV Billions. I do AfterBuzz TV Jersey Shore.
That's right.
I rock the high-low. And you can check me out on the Tomorrow Show for, I don't know, if you want to hear my take on the news or get advice on your careers or lack thereof.
It's a great show.
Okay, you guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We will be back next week. Nicole should be back with us. I think Jeff Scam's going to be with us too. And Juliet in the booth, probably too. So we'll be back to, we'll have a full bar staff next week.
Can't wait.
Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.